What's up and welcome to the Active Amputee Podcast. Everything people with a limb difference need to live an active and exciting lifestyle. I'm Bjorn Eser, the founder of and shaker and maker behind the Active Amputee. And today you're listening to episode number 37. Episode number 37 is all about phantom pains or phantom limb pains.
Phantom pain, about dealing with a very common companion. Phantom pain is unfortunately something that many amputees know well and experience more or less regularly. And that's why I want to deal a little bit more with this phenomenon today. In this article, you will find a first overview of theories about the development of phantom limb pain on the one hand and various treatment approaches on the other hand. If you then want to delve deeper into the matter, you can find some links to further articles in the show notes and on my blog. Ghosts that can make your life a living hell. Phantom limb pain is unfortunately something that many amputees know well and experience on a more or less regular basis. Phantom pains are painful sensations that are perceived where the amputated limb used to be. In other words, the brain projects pain into a part of the body that is no longer there. In contrast to phantom pain, phantom sensations do not involve pain, but other sensations such as a tingling sensation or the feeling that the limb is still there. Stump pain, on the other hand, manifests itself in the scar area or in the residual limb. Those affected often find it difficult to clearly distinguish this type of pain from phantom pain. The age at which the amputation occurred seems to play a crucial role in how likely phantom limb pain is to occur. Studies have shown that people who experience an amputation in adulthood have the highest risk of experiencing phantom limb pain. Children, for example, are much less likely to suffer from phantom pain. In contrast, phantom limb pain rarely or never occurs with congenital limb differences. How does phantom limb pain develop? It is still unclear how exactly phantom limb pain develops. The causes seem to lie mainly in the brain and spinal cord. After an amputation, no more information from the missing limb arrives in the brain. Nevertheless, this area of the body is still represented in the brain. Possible explanations for the development of phantom limb pain include: one theory states that the brain reacts to the missing information from the amputated limb with the oldest warning signal it knows, pain, a sign that says something is wrong here. Theory number two is as follows: since parts of the nerve pathways that used to transmit impulses from the amputated limb to the brain are still present, there is irritation in the processing of impulses from these parts of the nerve pathways. In response, the brain sends pain impulses. A third theory works on the assumption that for every part of the human body there is a kind of mapping in the brain. After an amputation, the brain assigns the missing part of the body to a neighboring region in the brain. It reorganizes the map, so to speak. For example, touching the cheek may trigger pain in the hand that is no longer there. A fourth explanation focuses on our nervous system. The surgical transection of the nerves in the periphery during the amputation can lead to increased impulse activity in the spinal cord. Spontaneous impulses and pain signals are the result. Here comes theory number five: excessive growth at the nerve endings injured by the amputation, a so-called neuroma, at the end of the residual limb can trigger impulse activities that cause pain. And last but not least, due to the pain memory in the brain, people who had pain in the amputated limb for a long time before the amputation may continue to have pain after the amputation. The assumption is that the brain continues to send pain signals. Therefore, adequate pain management prior to amputation is strongly recommended, as it is likely to reduce the risk of developing phantom limb pain. Other risk factors that may favor the development of phantom limb pain or trigger a pain attack are stress, depressive states, or anxiety. What are options to manage phantom limb pain? There are several pillars of treatment for phantom limb pain. Medication is one of them, but not the only one. Procedures that try to reverse the reorganization in the brain or stimulate the nerve specifically are another. General relaxation procedures are a third option. Usually, different procedures are combined to give people affected by phantom pain the best possible relief. Medication. Here the options are the following clusters. Medication from the group of nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs, these include classic painkillers like ibuprofen or diclofenac. Antidepressants, these work against neuropathic pain, pain caused by nerves. Anticonvulsants, anti-seizure drugs, they are often combined with antidepressants. Opioids, for example, morphine. As well as local anesthetics, for example lidocaine. Procedures designed to influence or reverse the reorganization of the brain. Some of the promising approaches are the following. Mirror training. A mirror is positioned in such a way that the still existing, healthy limb is reflected and creates the impression that the amputated body part is still there. If the remaining limb is moved, the impression is created that the amputated part of the body is also moving. As a result, reorganization processes take place in the brain again. Phantom pain can often be alleviated. Visualization exercises. Here, the affected person imagines that he or she would move the missing limb. The effects are comparable to those of the mirror therapy. Sensory perception training. Here, the residual limb is stimulated, for example, by pressure impulses or with a hedgehog ball. These stimuli should be perceived consciously by the affected person. The combination of conscious stimulation and conscious perception often leads to a reduction in phantom pain. Myoelectric prosthesis. With this type of prosthesis, the user has the possibility to control the prosthesis movements by triggering electrical impulses through muscle contractions in the remaining residual limb. This method is mainly used for arm and hand prostheses. The brain region in which the amputated body part is represented receives signals from the affected limb again. Reorganization takes place and phantom pain can recede. Neuromodulation through nerve stimulation. In cases of very severe phantom pain that cannot be sufficiently influenced by other methods, neuromodulation procedures can be used. However, these are usually associated with surgery and the implantation of electrodes. Repetitive transcranial magnetic stimulation, RTMS, phantom limb pain can be positively influenced by stimulating or inhibiting certain areas of the brain with the help of external magnetic fields. This procedure does not require surgery. Spinal cord stimulation, SCS, in this procedure, an electrode is placed directly over the spinal cord. Via a program stimulator inserted under the skin, electrical impulses act on the spinal cord and can reduce phantom limb pain. Deep brain stimulation, DBS, electrodes are placed in specific areas of the brain and then stimulated. Motor cortex stimulation, MCS, in this procedure, an electrode is placed on the motor area in the brain during surgery and then stimulated. Other possibilities. Massages often work well for people with phantom pain. As does acupuncture. Other report improvements through transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation, TENS, electrodes placed on the skin stimulate the underlying nerves. Phantom limb pain can be reduced. In recent years, cannabis preparations moved more into the spotlight. CBD and THC have been used for chronic pain. Nebulized as pure flowers, in drop or capsule form, they can also bring relief from phantom pain. Medicinal preparations must be prescribed by a doctor. However, there are also over-the-counter CBD oils for ingestion or for massaging the stump. Another option is hypnosis, Various methods of hypnosis therapy can have a favorable influence on chronic pain. In individual cases, the hypnotherapist must be consulted to determine what is appropriate. Biofeedback. In the biofeedback method, electrodes are attached to the skin of the residual limb that measure and report the body temperature. The affected person now tries to lower his or her body temperature. Studies have shown that this often reduces the level of phantom limb pain. General relaxation techniques such as meditation, mindfulness training, and many others also show good results for some. All these methods have an influence on the general state of arousal in the body. If this can be lowered, the pain is usually also relieved.
I hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the new episodes. And I would really appreciate it if you leave me a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to learn more about The Active Amputee, make sure to head over to www.theactiveamputee.org, where you find hundreds of articles from amputees for amputees. Articles filled with inspiration, information, and encouragement to be active and live a rewarding life. I see you all again for the next episode. Until then, all the best. This is Bjorn from The Active Amputee.